Welcome to episode 306 of In Touch with iOS, the show that talks about iPhone, iPad, Apple Watch, Apple TV, and related technologies. I'm your host, Dave Ginsberg, and I've got a couple of great guests this week. First, I'm going to start off with Marty Gentius. So glad to have you back on the show, Marty. How you doing tonight?
It's great to be back. It's been a crazy couple of days with the new iPad, and I've been field testing it, as, and we'll get into that later, but I'm doing pretty good. I'm enjoying the new equipment. Great.
Yep, so we'll definitely be getting to that because the three of us here have new iPad Pros. I have a brand new guest this week. I'm so happy to have him on the show for the very first time, Mr. Eric Erickson, one of the co-hosts of your for Mac Guys Only with Mike Potter. How you doing, Eric? I'm so glad to be you're here.
Pretty good. Yeah, glad to be here too. Yeah, no, this is great. And I got to say, I love Marty's picture back there too. The yum.
Yeah, his yum.
I'm very jealous. I need to get something like that.
There's a story behind that. Eric, I'll fill you in sometime. If you want it now, I'll give it to you now. But we got Jeff yet.
We still got to get Jeff Cammett in here because he's here as well. I know he's got some FOMO going on here because we all have iPads.
I'm
so glad you're here, Jeff.
I see how this is. You have a couple great people on the show, and so you introduce them. Oh, and then Jeff's on the show. By the way, he's the guy that doesn't have a new iPad. Yet.
But let's. I'll just talk a little bit about what's going. We're going to be hitting on this week because obviously we've been talking about it. I have the iPad Pro 13 inch. I'm super stoked to talk about it. So does Marty, and so does Eric. We'll be hitting that iOS 17.5 and iPad OS 17.5, and all the updates that have been released. We'll be hitting in on that as well. And yeah, I think a lot of it's going to be on those two topics as well as some news. And let's just go ahead. And first, I wanted to actually ask you, Eric, since you're a new guest, it's a tradition on In Touch with iOS when I have a brand new guest for the first time to kind of find out what makes you buzz when it comes to Apple. And I know you're a big Mac fan and use a lot of Macs, obviously, because you're on for Mac Eyes Only. You've been doing that with Mike for many years.
Right.
But where are you at with your Macs? Which ones have been using so far?
Right now, I have a Mac Studio, the M2.
Nice.
And I use it for editing. I use Final Cut Pro, Motion, and some After Effects and stuff like that. So, and I kind of went all out when I got it. And of course, now it looks like they're possibly on the cusp of releasing like an M4 version. So, and being that the M4 was a pretty good jump on, you know, on the iPad, I'm kind of wondering, I'm thinking maybe with, you know, the M2, it might be a pretty big jump in the Mac Studio as well. But I've got that in a MacBook Pro, an M1, which I was using quite a bit as my main computer, enough that I kind of burned out the battery. You know, apparently you're not supposed to leave it charged or leave it on the charger all the time. But if you've got it plugged in and you've got it like in desktop mode, there's really nothing you can do. So I pretty much have set the sleep to hibernate like 25. So it just shuts it off and I have to go through a little, it doesn't like go through a shutdown, but or a reboot, but it's a lot slower than waking up from sleep, but it saves the battery in between times, you know, in between using it. Sure. So, but I've been a Mac user for a long time. I mean, I think my first Mac was a Performa 405. That's how long ago, and probably nobody even knows that computer even existed. Oh, so
I think a few of us here know about that.
Should we have the discussion? Like the 405, it had a different software package with it, and it was hard to tell them apart because it was the same model. But the 405 versus the 415, which apps did it come with?
It had some sort of performance thing. I was trying to think. I think I got ClarisWorks with it when I got it. I didn't get Office or anything. It wasn't that fancy. Mm-hmm. I just remember ClarisWorks, and I'm trying to think. It probably had some version of HyperCard on it too. So
But some of the other apps would have been like some of them. It was like you get these two games and you get these two games on the other one. And what was the one that was like everyone got? It was the dinosaur you're hunting for the eggs game.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes. Yeah.
What did I get into?
Oh yeah. Dave, this is all on you.
I love it when people talk about old times.
Yeah. But let's kind of move on to this, you don't mind. So you have iPads, you've had iPads for a while, you have an iPhone, I assume.
Yep.
And Apple TV, you dabble in that, AirPods.
Have Apple TV, AirPods. Apple Watch. Yeah, AirPods Max. Yeah, and the this second gen AirPods, I love those a real lot. But yeah, iPads and iPhones and I'm always
do the Apple Watch.
Do the Apple Watch. Yeah, I've got this is
all right. So you're all in. You're a perfect guy to be on the show. Yeah. So that's
I'm
just glad that you're here, and we just have a lot of fun talking about
Apple. Yeah.
And it's you're a perfect person to be here to talk here. Glad so here. Yeah, great. I really appreciate you being here. So let's go ahead and we'll move on. And topics for this week is first we're now at iOS 17.5. It has been released. Now they are treating it as a security update too. So it is pretty critical that everybody does go out there and upgrade now if you haven't already. This was released Monday before we recorded this week, and there is a number of new features, and we've been talking about them for a long time. Now, first of which is the app downloads from websites, which of course you can only do that in the EU only. So they did do some enhancements in Apple News Plus, which you have an offline mode. So now you can actually provides access for the Today feed and the newest tab without even having to be online. So that always beneficial, maybe if you're on a plane and you don't want to get on Wi-Fi. They have a new game, the scoreboard, the puzzles. It's called Crossword and Mini Crossword and Quarters, and interesting place there to play that. The other big feature they added was the third-party item tracker alerts now. So now it's not just AirTags that it tracks. It'll track other devices like Tile and others if something is been put there but you didn't put there. The big feature I was really happy about was the repair state. You know, whenever you have to bring your iPhone in for repairs, you now can just put it into a simple repair state as opposed to turning Find My off and then the activation lock, which of course they've implemented for security, which we've talked about before. There's a podcast widget now, so you can into the home screen. So it now features a background that changes depending on the art of the podcast that's being played, which is kind of neat. With mobile device management, or also known as MDM solutions, will enforce to enforce a beta version during automated device enrollment. So that's more on the end of developers and enterprise that are probably using it. And some code changes were added, including a reference to an iPad battery health feature that could possibly be available in latest iPads. I haven't looked at that yet, but we're going to talk about the new iPads in a bit here. So not a huge amount of it, but the biggest thing is the security updates. And I've got links in the show notes of actually Apple's list of the various amounts of security updates that were released. I won't go through all of them, but you have things like in Find My, there's been some malicious applications and been able to determine the user's current location, some kernel updates, the maps, the notes. So take a look at that. And like I said, these are pretty serious security updates. So I think it's important that we all get out there and upgrade. Don't hesitate. I know a lot of people like to wait a few days when the new version comes out, but that's a pretty serious update. I'm assuming all you guys have updated your devices and you're all up to date here. So did Jeff, you have any comments on this?
I'm with you with the security updates in this one. Don't wait to see what other people find. Install these updates. And then all the other features that you get. Okay, well, that's just a nice little bonus, but the security updates are big.
Yep. How about you, Eric? I'm assuming you've got everything up to date.
Yes. Yeah, actually I do. And, you know, I tend to hesitate on updating my phone and in my iPad as well, but it actually, this one I did update right away. I can't remember exactly one of the security things. I mean, it seemed like it was pretty bad. So, but I always do keep up with iOS stuff pretty good.
Yeah. And you, Marty, I know you're on beta. So yeah, right now we have no beta. So,
the gift that Apple keeps giving is every time I lift up a phone or an iPad and that little systems icon has a little, red dot on it.
Number one.
Yeah. It's like, oh, wow, something new. So I try to update as soon as I can get in a good Wi-Fi system to do the update with. Yeah. For me, the visible parts were Quartiles, the new game in news.
Courthouse, that's it.
Yeah, I'm not good with games. I gave it one shot. All the parts came up, and I'm like, I can't put any of these words. That's it. I'm done. But that's a visible thing people will see if they use news. Yeah. And then the other thing that came up was the podcast widget. And I'm like, how did that? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. So that was the podcast I was playing, and that's where I want to go. So,
yeah. Only thing I found with 17.5, which kind of was a little annoying, was as soon as I did the update and came back, and I all of a sudden noticed that my phone was showing calls. I'm like, what is going on here? And then I did not come to realize that I went over to my voicemails and no voicemails were listed. I'm like, wait, somebody must have called. So it was a momentary having to do a hard reset of the iPhone. And then they came back. And then, oh, that's why it has numbers there, because there's voicemails. And I missed a voicemail on that Monday when it came through. I'm like, gosh darn it. So you know, little bugs like that tend to happen. I was getting a little frustrated, and I'm starting to worry that, okay, the phone's running a little weird, but that's what it was. So all else fails, do that hard reset. As we know, good tip, I'll always mention it, is you push the volume up, the volume down, and then hold the power button in, and then just hold it until it shuts down and you see the Apple logo. That's a hard reset and a hard reboot, I should say. So that was the only other thing that happened. Some of the other things that are notable, we talked about with the puzzle game and the security fixes. And there was a bit of a bug with, I believe, what was it here? Oh yeah, there was a little bit of bug, a little troubling bug here that was resurfacing of old deleted photos. There were some concerning reports. It was on Reddit and a number of other places here, introducing a bug that causes old photos that were deleted in some cases years ago to reappear in a user's photo libraries. After an update of their iPhone, the user said that they were shocked to find old NSFW photos that were deleted in 2021 to suddenly show up in their photos marked recently uploaded to iCloud. Other users have also chimed in with similar stories. Same here. I have four pictures from 2010, and they keep reappearing as latest pics to upload to iCloud. Wow. I had to delete them repeatedly. So I guess there had been some bugs with this. I thought that they had said they'd fixed this, had been fixed. Oh, what do you think, Eric, on this? This is crazy.
It is. So these are photos you deleted in 2010, or they deleted in 2021?
Yeah, they deleted a while ago. Yeah.
Yeah. I know the whole recovery thing, which is great. I mean, but it's supposed to last, 30 days, I think. Not, you know.
Yeah. That's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to be gone after 30 days. So
that,
but yeah.
That's almost a little disturbing, but I guess I don't
know.
almost. Yeah. You hope that they were keeping backups of everything else, their phone, and somehow, but that just doesn't make sense. How does that?
Yeah, that's a good question. There really hasn't been any explanation on this. So.
It's not a bug. It's a benefit.
It's a benefit.
Because yeah, I hadn't seen those pictures of me and Stormy for years, and it was great.
Right? Yeah. And you're like, wow, I really did look good.
Yeah, you did look good at that. Yeah. Yeah. Jeff, what are your thoughts on this line? This
topic? When I saw this, my first thought was, holy forking shirt balls. If you're using iCloud photos, every single photo you have ever taken that's gone there is still there. Period. I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
I cannot find any other reasonable explanation for this. A deleted photo in iCloud Photos is never deleted. It's just not shown to you anymore. And that's a huge concern. And I feel like that's a huge breach of trust on Apple's part, because when we're deleting photos, they're saying, yeah, your photos are deleted. And that is clearly not the case. So the ramifications are, well, first, how is Apple going to get that trust back? And I don't see how you can. And then second, this tells me that if you have photos that can be incriminating in some way and you have deleted them, at some point, some law enforcement agency is going to try and get a subpoena to get all of your deleted photos from iCloud Photos to go through them for a criminal case And I'm sorry, this is just an unacceptable breach of trust and privacy on Apple's part. I'm sure some people think I'm overreacting, but I don't feel like I am in this case.
No,
they should have. They should have fixed this right away. It should have been an immediate reaction. Go ahead, Eric.
No, I totally agree. I don't think it's over. It's funny. You would think, you know, why this isn't out there more, and maybe it will be. But yeah, no, it's. I mean, I remember Google, and this was probably 2006, 2005, you know, five timeframe, and the government, there was a big deal because they wanted to get at data that on someone or something that was, I don't know how many years old, and Google was fighting the guy. I think he's like 6 years old, and most people's reaction was, "You still have that?" You know, and not even, it didn't even get to the point of, well, why does the government want it? Why, you know, should they let them have it? But it's just like, you still, why do you still have that? You know, especially if the person deleted it. And this is really no different. I mean, it's one thing. Yes. If, you know, our photos are there, we want our photos there, you know, we don't want them deleted accidentally. And of course, you know, that probably means a backup and stuff like that. But to have photos that should have been gone literally 14 years ago or whatever still show up, it's just odd. I mean, it's really weird.
You get the last word on this, Marty.
I don't lead that to dangerous of a life. So photos coming up.
NSFW, right?
Yeah. There's not a lot of unsafe stuff on my phone to begin with. So it's a non-issue for me. I do respect what Jeff's trying to say, that this could be for a lot of folks not a game changer, but Apple has to kind of crawl out underneath that rock and let them know what happened here and where are all these other ones that supposedly have been deleted.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we'll move on quickly here through the 17.5 upgrades. App WatchOS 10.5 was released. Definitely important to go ahead and update that. There were some bug fixes in that update. Nothing really to say on that as far as anything beyond that. But make sure you go and update that. As well as tvOS and your Apple TV, they did release some updates there, some bug fixes and such. Usually very minor in scale for Apple TV. So again, I highly recommend you go ahead and get those updated to take that. And I'll mention that macOS Sonoma 14.5 was released as well. This is their fifth update since it was just only a little over 2 months after 14.4 came out. So there had some pretty serious security updates, and there were some problems with Apple TV Plus, Apple News Plus, excuse me. And so they have to be getting close to near the end of the Sonoma development cycle because, we got WWDC a little less than a month away here, so we're going to probably start finding out what the next Mac OS as well. So get all those updates. They all came out the same day, which was great, so you can all take care of all your devices all at once here. So make sure you get that up. So let's get to the main story this week, which is the iPad Pro. So we have three of four of us that have purchased the iPad Pro 13-inch. It came out on Wednesday, May the 15th, which is a couple of days after as we're recording this, before I should say. And we've had it for about 2 days now, and you know, getting some good vibes with this iPad. I am very pleased having this. I went from an iPad Pro M1 11-inch to this now this 13-inch. I do have a 12.9 2018 version as just kind of a backup beta testing iPad, but it was due. I was due because I think it was a long time coming for me. The 11, which was a nice iPad. I actually enjoyed using that one. It was an M1, which was very fast for its time, but it was 3 years old. And I know most people thinking I would probably keep that iPad for another 3 or 4 years before I would even consider updating. But it was very enticing to look at the screen, and especially the OLED screen that's in here. And I'm pretty impressed with it. I have it in my hand here. We're showing it on camera here. And if I can unlock it, I can tell you one of the big things I have here is the fact that the screen is just amazingly sharp, and I'm very impressed with it. You know, I'm holding it up here, and I've got the Apple Pencil too, and the screen, you can even tell on video that we're talking here, I find to be just really, really crisp and really nice. the sound, the speakers are incredible. I mean, I was watching some videos, TV shows, and such, even like YouTube TV, and you turn it up, and it's like, holy cow, this sound is just absolutely amazing. When it comes to that, I definitely see the speed differences for sure. The M4, I still got to put more to its paces. You know, definitely doing stuff like Final Cut Pro, and I know that's probably what you've enticed you to get up and upgrade, Eric, because you're a big Final Cut Pro user. That the video editing on this thing is probably going to be just pretty incredible here. So, but I'll throw it out to the rest of the panel here. Eric, I'll start with you. And again, I just mentioned the Final Cut Pro. I'm sure that's a lot of what enticed you to look at this iPad because of video editing, right?
Yeah. Although I do most of my video editing on the Mac, although I've wanted to check out the latest updates to Final Cut Pro on the iPad.
Which aren't out yet.
I use Logic Pro quite a bit on the iPad.
And oh, okay. Yeah, that too.
Mm-hmm. I tried out Final Cut Pro way back when, and it was a few things that were kind of missing that I use. So I didn't really jump to it, but I'm always looking at that just because, you know, it's obviously right. Really good. And I kind of, you know, I have the 13 inch as well, and I love how thin it is. And actually, mm-hmm. I got the 12.9. I was going to say you jumped from the 11 inch to the 13. I originally wanted the 11 way back when, and I had the 12.9 before, and they just didn't have it in stock. So I got the 12.9, right. And now it's like I can't imagine having anything different. But
I think I'm at that state here now. Yeah. After getting this. I mean, I've had this old 2018 one that I just used as a secondary device. But
yeah,
after getting this, I'm probably near that. But you're right. Yeah, it is a pretty amazing when it comes to these models, especially like you said, it's the how thin it is. It's
yeah.
Crazy thin. I'm going to attempt here to have to do this without dropping these two very expensive iPads. I've got camera here. I've got the 2018 version that's on my right, and then the new iPad Pro on my left. And you definitely see how incredible how thin it really is. And only weighing about 5.1 grams in weight total, it is just insanely lightweight.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty impressed with the size.
When you held those up before the show, I was genuinely surprised at how obvious the thickness difference is.
Right. Yeah, for sure. So it's pretty impressive. I mean, what Apple's done. I've already seen, I mean, they've already got iFixit, already got their video out. I watched the teardown, and they're much in these things. I mean, and just to have as much power as it does. Yeah, I mean, they still have a lot of stuff they had to do, especially with the heating lamps to get the thing to, even just to get the screen off. And obviously in a million years, I would never do that to a $1,200 iPad. So, but I'm glad they do it so we can see what's inside them. But it's definitely impressive. Let me throw it over to Marty. I mean, what's your first impressions on the iPad?
Well, I've had... I got up for about a half day. I set everything up that I needed. And then I spent the last 2 days, the second day with it all day in outpatient surgery waiting room. So I really field tested it and was mainly doing writing and email and some organization and some media development, but I wasn't doing any media editing or any audio editing for podcasts. I've just been using it as a work device. It's fast. Mm-hmm. That's what I notice about it. It is really snappy. And so that has a good feel to it. It's lighter. I like that. I got a 1 terabyte, 13 inch Wi-Fi and wireless and cellular, but with a nano screen, which I know folks had concerns about the nano screen. I'll tell you what I appreciate. I've got it sitting over to the left of me, and I have desk lamps that are above it. I get no reflective glare whatsoever off of it, and I like that. I'll sacrifice. Yeah. You know, if I want more brightness, I'll just turn the brightness up. In terms of clarity, my visual acuity isn't that good anyways. But frankly, I really have gone to appreciate the less reflective screen that the nano screen presents for me in terms of work. It's kind of a softer feel to the screen in that sense. And I've enjoyed it so far. I have an Apple Pencil. I'm not an artist, and I'm still trying to figure out how to do the haptic thing with it. But that will be next week's tasks, not for me to become an artist, but just to figure out how to use the pencil in a way. And the keyboard, I love the keyboard. I mean, I know it's the same kind of keys that were in the previous model, but the aluminum setting and the aluminum base, it's a keyboard. And unlike some Mac laptops that I have, I feel like I'm reaching over on laptops to do my typing. With this keyboard, I'm just there and I'm doing it, and it's just really smooth. So both those together, it's beginning to feel like a device that I can use as a regular work device. I'm not going to be doing Final Cut editing on it, although I have the app and I'll want to play with it. But I'll do that at home. I'll do that on my Mac Studio. But for everything else that I do, going and coming back and forth from work, it's a great device. I wish I had an 11-inch MacBook. I mean, the old days were that you had the small little super portable MacBooks. And I guess you can get some of that by getting an 11-inch iPad. But that's what I'm really looking for, something that's super portable and also powerful. So I've enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah. So far, so good. We'll touch upon pencil here in just a minute here, but you mentioned that you got the keyboard case, right?
Yep.
You got the Magic Keyboard. Did you get that as well, Eric?
I did. Yep. Yep. I got both the pencil and the keyboard. And I, like Marty, I love the keyboard. It is really nice. And I had the old one as well. And the trackpad is definitely an upgrade. And in fact, there's times where I kind of like type it, especially with the older one. And I think it's the same with the newer one, was kind of one of my more favorite keyboards to type on, which I hadn't found an iPad case up until really the Magic Keyboard that I really liked, you know, that I really actually felt good to type on. And probably part of that is a 13 inch size too. I don't know how the 11 inches to type on, but. No, it's terrific. I really like that.
I did have the Magic Keyboard 11-inch. I'm gonna have to obviously sell that sucker. I obviously don't need it anymore. So, but I opted to get a case, and I actually just wanted to get just an inexpensive case. I got it from a company called ESR, the Protective Tablet Case. This is it here, and it's magnetic, which is really cool. I hadn't seen, you know, usually they like, I like the Zugu, ZUGU cases. I mean, I've had those for forever. They make some great cases, but yeah, this just attaches just like the Magic Keyboard. It's magnetic and then just it locks into place here. The nice thing is it does have, the case has a cover that covers the pencil completely here. So it's protected from falling off here.
That's nice.
That's really nice.
So it is kind of nice. It's just a simple case for now. I probably eventually might get the Magic Keyboard. I was finding that I wasn't using it a lot. I bought some older ones after the fact, like the old Bridge keyboards, and I've had some others that I've gotten from, you know, testing and such, but I think this is good for me for now, just for a simple case. But yeah, who knows? I mean, if I get my business discount, maybe they'll give me a little bit of discount on the Magic Keyboard. I'll be happier not to have to spend that $300 for that. So
I have questions.
Go ahead, Jeff. I'm sorry. I mean, not open. Absolutely. I completely forgot to open this. So this is going to be our way of selling you on this iPad Pro.
Here's the thing. I'm sold, even though my 12.9-inch iPad Pro with the A12X Bionic processor is still fully capable of everything that I need.
It is.
And
even that 2018 I have now is too.
Yeah. And Eric, just so you get how I'm using this, I do all my video editing on my iPad Pro, and I use LumaFusion. I don't enjoy doing video editing on my Mac because LumaFusion is so awesome for me.
Yeah, it's a great app.
It is. Yeah, and I get that everyone has the right tool for them. And so Final Cut on your Mac for you, LumaFusion on my iPad for me. Yeah. So anyhow... Yeah. I have a question about the nanotexture screen, and I'm really glad to hear that the the reflection is just like completely cut. Clarity isn't an issue. I'm curious, how does it feel to use the Apple Pencil on the nanotexture screen? Does it still feel like plastic moving on glass? Do you get some more resistance so it feels more like paper and pencil? How is that working?
I've used it a little bit. I just remember using an Apple Pencil first gen on previous iPads, mm-hmm. and it felt slippery.
Mm-hmm.
My handwriting is by far not good anymore. I've been typing for years, so I've given up on handwriting. But this really feels like something I can smoothly move. There's a smoothness to it without the slipperiness to it.
You have more of that tactile feel?
Yeah, yeah, it is. I mean, it's not like I'm running it across paper, mm-hmm. but it does feel like it's got more of a kick to it. Okay. Which is nice. And what we discovered before the show was that us nanoscreen types get a completely different polishing cloth than the standard OLED screen. They get what, you know, the chamois, the stiff kind of chamois, and this is a very soft cloth. I've got a bunch of Apple products now that have each a different designated cloth for it. So Apple is probably expanding that line more so than their iPad line.
That's
actually even Marty has his own cloths for every device he has.
Is there anything in the obviously limited instructions that come with the iPad that say only use the cleaning cloth we provided?
That would mean I'd have to pay it. I stopped reading instructions years ago, too.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything. What I was setting up as I was saying it, and yeah.
I think I recall something about them saying this cloth works on the nanotexture. I don't think they said, but only use this cloth.
Okay.
But I think they were making reference to the fact that this cloth was for the nanotextured screen.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. And I was curious about if it felt significantly faster, and clearly it does. So
it does.
That's nice. And does it feel like the color range has been expanded? And I'm fully aware that I'm asking a very subjective question, and I don't know what level of depth the three of you have in color matching and color management to know if you're really seeing a difference in the color.
Ironically, I'm colored blind, or I think probably the better definition is colored dumb, because I'm not completely loss of shades, but you know, I have every genetic confusion that an Irish mother could give you in terms of colored blindness. And so I'm not the guy to ask. I have adults dress me when it's really important.
You know, that's probably just a good life choice in general. I don't have any color issues, but I still will turn to proper adults when I need to dress appropriately. But Eric, you're actually doing video work, so I'm assuming you're paying closer attention to color. Have you noticed anything on the new iPad?
Not that I can tell. I do use the, what is it, Rec 709. Generally, when I'm doing video editing, just because everything seems to fall that way. And they do have a reference mode that you can actually put the iPad in that I didn't see before, where for colors, so that it's more accurate. It seems brighter, and I mean, the colors seem to stand out. But as far as like it actually having, you know, more color or more dynamic range, I guess I can't. I don't know.
Well,
I haven't.
The fact that it has a reference mode, I mean, I now want to learn everything I can about that. Has Apple released an iPad that is essentially a reference monitor for video editors?
For video editors, yeah.
And if so, holy crap, why wasn't this something that was front and center in the keynote?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think they did gloss over it for a second, but yeah, no, I was kind of surprised to see that. So Yeah, I wonder why that wasn't either.
I mean, for a certain audience, that alone is worth the price of a new iPad.
Yeah. Yeah, considering just a reference monitor alone, I mean, can, get pretty pricey as it is. And I know you can probably find something good, but I mean, especially with everything else it can do. Yeah.
Yeah. So I need to learn more about this, but it's very likely that you mentioning that in passing has made this a very compelling, even more so compelling upgrade for me than it was 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's like we always say there, it's never cheap, but it's usually good quality.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Dave, I could sit here and take us for hours with other questions, but instead I will respect that this is your show and I will shut up.
No, please. I'm enjoying you ask the questions because you're going to be in the market for it. I will show, you've probably seen it live where you can actually, you do the tapping feedback and you see that when you squeeze it, you got the tools that come up on the screen there and you can pick, any of the tools right from there. You feel it. It's haptic feedback. It's great. The hover, where you hover over, that's already been there. You can see that. So it is a good feeling pencil. I compared it to the first Apple Pencil, and this is the Pencil number 2, and this is the Pro. And I did notice that I think the Pencil Pro is a slightly thicker. If you notice, I know it's hard to see on camera here, but this is the Pro on my left here, and this is the Pencil 2. I don't know. It kind of seems slightly thicker than the other one. It's hard to tell.
Calipers measure that. You have everything within reach. Yeah. You must have calipers in reach as well.
I don't have any calipers, sorry. But yeah, go ahead. Because I know this is true to your heart.
If there is a minor difference like that, simply because they had to shift stuff around in the Pencil and in the iPad to account for the new camera position. And charging coils.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. So it does have the pressure sensitivity. I've noticed it did feel really, and I feel it when you squeeze it. I feel the haptic feedback and the double tap. You can change tools too. It has the hover, barrel roll, the squeeze control. You can just squeeze. The best thing they ever came out with now is having Find My now on the Pencil. I mean, now if you always, there's plenty of times I've misplaced the pencil. I was like, where the heck did I do my pencil? And now you can, just like your Apple Watch or your iPhone or your iPad or any other device, that you can do Find My now, find the pencil, which was always a bit of a challenge here. So very intriguing. This pencil really, it feels solid in your hand from what I'm feeling it. Compared to the Pencil 2, I would drop this Pencil 2 all the time. I'd be writing and I seem like I drop it more than, I obviously haven't used this that much, but I can just feel the weighting and it just feels a little more weighted than the Pencil 2. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know.
We need to get you one of those things you can put on your lapel that has a little wire that comes out that you can attach to your pencil and then it zooms back.
Yeah,
up
I have to have it just hang it down.
That's exactly what you need.
Like everybody now these days have their iPhone cases with their neck strap. So it's a really cool pencil. I think this is something that artists, and you're more prone wanting to work with this than probably all of us here, Jeff, because you are an artist and you love to do this. So yeah, I think this is, they're enticing you even more to pull this trigger to get this.
Marty found Apple's support page for the reference mode. And I've been scanning through it while you've been talking. And
so put that in the show notes if we can. We will.
I'll put it in the show notes because I'm sitting here looking at this. And you can even use this in reference mode in Sidecar. Holy crap. This is so fracking cool.
Yeah, it really is. It's really... And I didn't realize they had it in the fifth or sixth generation. I had no idea. Well, I guess iPadOS 16 or later. So maybe I just didn't look, but
Well, see, here's another problem that Apple has, which is discoverability.
Yeah.
And it's just across the board, but if this has been available since iPadOS 16, how have I not heard about this until today? And this is the kind of thing that would catch my eye. I mean, just like all the different features that we got with the iPads, with hover mode and stuff, with Apple Pencil 2, and then now the features we're getting with Apple Pencil Pro. And yeah, Apple needs to work on this.
The other thing I heard about the Pencil was there's the potential, particularly with third-party developers, to be able to turn this into a handheld mouse, if you want to call it that, that it will be able to activate all sorts of different things using the haptic touch and such that's available in the Pencil. So it has a bigger future than just drawing pretty pictures.
I kind of wondered that because I saw, and I had the Apple Pencil 2, but not the, I didn't have the iPad update or whatever. So I didn't know about the hover mode, but I noticed, you know, just dragging the Pencil over icons and stuff that it's the same thing as when you move the mouse cursor on the keyboard and they perk up, you know, this, you know, and I'm not touching the screen. I'm just hovering over it. And I thought, yeah, I wonder if you could use this in more than just, so that's interesting. Yeah, I definitely could see that.
I've been using my Apple Pencil 2 on my, I guess that would be iPad 3rd gen or 4th gen. And it doesn't have hover, but yeah, I will often use it as a mouse pointing type input device. Just because it's already in my hand, why take it out or move it into a weird position so I can use my finger? And yeah, so adding hover mode is really nice. And I feel like Apple is really stepping up the game as far as competing with pro level graphics tablets like the Wacom Cintiq line. And I like seeing this competition because as someone who also uses a graphics tablet, the idea of having one device that can truly serve as both, like completely, no sacrifices or compromises, that's a super cool idea. And I think this is getting us a lot closer to that.
Yeah,
it is.
Do you have a Cintiq or...
My Cintiq is in a box right now because it's an older model where it has this rat's nest of cables that come off of it.
Yeah.
And it's like, ah. So I was using an Intuos until the drivers broke with, what was the previous version of macOS?
Ventura.
Ventura.
Yeah.
And so now I'm playing around with a Wacom One.
Oh. Yeah. And you said the Pencil is catching up. And is there still, I was just wondering, because I did use that a while back and I haven't used it for a while. And I wasn't sure how the Pencil compared or how the new Apple Pro Pencil compared to like an Intuos or a Wacom.
So compared to an Intuos or a Cintiq.
Yeah, right.
Wacom still has the advantage because you can get the multiple styluses with alternate tips.
Right.
So you can get something that feels like you're using a chisel tip or an airbrush or whatever. And with Apple Pencil, you are still limited to the single tip.
Yeah.
Also, you have to charge it.
Right. I was going to say, you never had to do that with the Wacom. I didn't have a Cintiq, but yeah. Yeah. A
couple more things I'll mention. They did change the magnets in the Pencil because only reason I know this, because you know, when you position it onto the iPad and I'm showing it on camera here, you feel it. It snaps in place and it's solid.
Attach it the other way.
Like this way?
Yeah. So the tip is going the opposite direction from what you normally do. Can you do that?
I think so. Yep.
Okay, good. And the reason I was asking is because the way you put the Pencil on the charger probably depends on if you're left or right-handed. Because I've noticed that the tip on my Apple Pencil is facing the opposite direction for most people when I'm charging it. And that's because when I'm done writing, I set it up with my left hand, not my right hand. Yep. So I'll still be able to do that.
And you know, because this is the Pencil 2, it the magnets are incomplete. You feel the kind of but it's never going to stick completely. So you know that this pencil will never work with this iPad, the Pencil 2. So, and that's the thing. It will hold up our boxes. If you guys have it, the pencil box came into different colors here. Jeff, you should take a screenshot of this.
I love this.
If the guys, so we got different color boxes here, and it looks like Eric and Marty got the same one. I got a black one here.
So, I did just take a screenshot, so I've got everyone's Apple Pencil box.
We'll put that in the show. We'll put that in our show notes. So a couple more things I wanted to hit on with the iPad here. There is a new battery saving life cycle feature that they've added into the iPad that's extending the M4 iPad Pro battery lifespan. It's a new feature. It's in the Apple support document. I'll put a link to the article as well as to the support document. You go into settings, you go under battery and under battery health. There is a choice here that's happening. You could hand turn it on and to say 80% limit to turn on as far as limiting the charge up to 80%. And this is supposed to help with the cycle count because it doesn't have to be fully charged 100% if you so choose. So that's an interesting way of kind of helping with battery health. I mean, the iPads tend to me, of all the iPads I've had over the years, tend to have pretty decent battery life. And, you know, getting down to that 80% is that's where we always are worried that then you got to get the battery replaced. And Jeff well knows of his old iPads and he never replaced batteries on that.
Well, my old 10-inch iPad Pro still has a battery that is completely worthless in it because it won't drop below 80%, so Apple won't replace it.
Right.
Which is stupid. So I have this iPad that I would use for a lot more, except that it has to be plugged into a charger all the time so I can use it, but I can't get a new battery in it yet. By the time I can, it won't matter. Yeah,
because it won't be able to upgrade anywhere on the OS. Of course, you know you had to have them doing bend tests on the iPad Pro. The bend tests are in, and the initial consensus appears that that Apple has managed to make its thinnest device ever as durable as the previous generation M2 iPad Pro. They took two approaches with this, and the bend tests were prominently. Of course, YouTubers had to do it and show the example of how the bend test and yeah, what could go wrong? And of course, they found a way because they take it apart and of course it's gonna bend. Please, people, don't do that. Some crazy YouTubers on here throwing away money just because they can bend the iPad.
It's so stupid.
So.
I have sick luck with this. I haven't dropped a device to where I've needed to replace a screen in the years of using it. But I still, I still get Apple Care in case that happens. And I don't, it scares me because this thing is so thin that it's like one good hit. But I don't have a history of doing that. I treat my devices well and I've never had to cash in on Apple Care for things like that. I think that you would think from looking at it, this is a dangerous piece of equipment to have out for all sorts of potential damage, but apparently the stress tests hold up.
Yeah, it seems like it. So, but these crazy people have to do this, but I'm going to give him any more discussion about this. So. But that's the iPad. I think we did got some great discussion about it. We obviously all have to explore it, and we have to get Jeff to go out there and pull that trigger and go buy a new iPad, and then we can hear what his thoughts are.
And just letting me take over.
I teamed up on you. We all teamed up on you. You got three of us here to tell you that it's a pretty amazing device.
I just want to point out that it took three of you to be able to handle my questions.
I think the selling point for you was the reference mode. I mean, that's when the lights really went on for you.
Yeah, I mean, the new Apple Pencil, that's a very compelling thing for me. The new keyboard is compelling, not as compelling as a pencil. But then when I realized that for the video stuff, reference monitor mode, it's like, this changes everything. Why didn't Apple lead with this?
Yeah, and Jeff, I know you initially have not been a fan of the nano texture, but if you go to purchase one or you go to a store to look at one, check out the nano texture just because you were, you had questions about writing on it and what that experience is like.
Well, I'll definitely check out the screens before I buy, since this is a new option. Let's hope they have it on display. And yeah, of course, the it'll be on display at my local Apple store. So
yeah,
I'll be able to
One other thing I would mention, you know, Apple always consistent with colors. I got the space black, so then they gave you a space black braided USB-C to USB-C cable, so it matches.
Nice.
So
same here.
That.
Yep. So yep, same. Jeff, if you were going to get one, which would you get, 11 or 13 inch or
13?
Oh, yeah, 13 for sure.
Yeah. I cannot imagine for the way I use my iPad going down. I cannot imagine for the way I use my iPad Pro going down to a smaller screen.
Right. Yep. No, yeah. I totally hear you. Same way. Now maybe everybody knows this, but the one thing with the nanotexture screen and also I guess the actual performance cores in the chip, you need to get either the 1 terabyte or the 2 terabyte in order to even have the nanotexture option. And then also to get that actual full performance core. And I think it had the 1 terabyte has 16 gig of RAM as well. Mm-hmm. Otherwise.
Thanks. Let's touch upon that a little bit. But before we do that, I want to make sure we just give a shout out to everybody in the chat for tonight. Thanks for being here live with us as we record at youtube.com/intouchableiOS. Cletus is in the chat and he's got a number of questions. First thing is we didn't even hit on that. What size iPad did we all get? Well, I went with the 512 gigabyte. I'm fine with that. Didn't feel the need to really dive into that really expensive version. But of course, if you get the 1 or the 2 terabyte version, then your memory goes from 8 gigabytes to 16 gigabytes. So you do have it updated with memory with that. So what did you go with, Eric?
I went with the 13 inch and I got the 1 terabyte. And okay, I just got the standard glass. But yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I thought maybe I might use the extra 16 or the extra 8 gig. And I don't know about the 1 performance core. You know, if I'll.
Yeah. Extra cores with that too.
Yeah.
Marty, we know you got the nano texture. What did you get with size?
Yeah, I got a 1 terabyte and went with that as my device.
Yep. I was definitely, I'm happy with the 512. I'm okay with it. So I'm happy with my decision. Cletus asked about speaker quality. I mentioned that earlier in the show that, the speakers, the sound on this iPad is insane. It just is really, really good quality. I mean, it really is. I mean, you just sit in front of it and start watching something like, wow, this thing is sounding amazing. And when you turn it up it really, at a really louder level, it's clean. It's not really distorted. I mean, this is a portable device and it's almost like having almost near a home theater, you know, having sound with the sound quality. It really is. Right. So the Apple just knocked it out of the park with the 4 speakers that are in the iPad here. But that's the iPad Pro. I think you guys out there, this just decide what you think is going to be best for you. Like we said, the older models, they may still be good for you and that's fine. The M1, the M2 versions of the iPad Pros are perfectly fine. You might find some little more inexpensive versions of that, but hope that gave you some insights to what we decided when we decided to purchase our iPad Pros this week. So moving on, we got a couple news stories I wanted to hit here real quick before we wrap up. Apple did have some big, huge announcements today. And this is actually surprising to me that Apple did some announcements pre-WWDC because, you know, this is all going to be part of iOS and iPadOS 18. So they announced a number of accessibility features, which includes eye tracking, music haptics, and vocal shortcuts. So they're bringing the eye tracking to the iPad and the iPhone, and it's going to be powered by AI. It gives you a built-in option for navigating the iPad and the iPhone just with your eyes, designed for users with physical disabilities. Eye tracking will use the front-facing camera to set up and calibrate in seconds with on-device machine learning. All data used to set it up and control this feature is kept securely on the device and isn't shared with Apple. So it works across iPadOS and iOS apps, and it doesn't require any additional hardware accessories. So this is pretty amazing feature by itself here. Music haptics will make songs more accessible. So you can now, with the accessibility features with the Taptic Engine in the iPhone, will play taps features and redefines the vibrations of audio for music. I'm not going to go real deep in a lot of this stuff. New features of wide range of speech for vocal shortcuts. You can go through that. As well as vehicle motion cues will help you reduce motion sickness. A new experience with the iPhone and iPad that can help reduce motion sickness for passengers in moving vehicles. That's another thing there. Go ahead if you had a comment on that.
I was just going to say that's huge. That's terrific. I'd love to see that. Yeah. The motion tickets, I have tons of trouble with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, even if you don't, a lot of these accessibilities doesn't necessarily mean you're full out having accessibility issues. So CarPlay is now going to get voice control. Holy cow. Hallelujah to this. For accessibility, voice controls, color filters, sound recognition. With voice control, you can actually navigate CarPlay and control apps just by your voice. Why wouldn't you want to just use this for anybody, honestly? Right. I mean, this is pretty incredible. Then, of course, Vision Pro, Vision Pro, as Marty, you have one, of course. There's some new accessibility features are going to be added to that, which are going to be some system-wide live captions to help everyone, including users who are deaf or hard of hearing, following with spoken dialogue and live conversations. So they're going to be adding a number of great things here and all kinds of other updates here. The other one that they were talking about was the magnification. You're actually going to have magnification of words. When you take a picture of something, it'll actually take the pictures and actually bring the words in to the magnifier using the magnifying glass in here, which is pretty amazing in itself here.
Like,
and there's so many, it was really slick. There's so many other things in here. I'm not going to spend I'll go through this, but check the links out in the show notes. Do you guys have any comments about this? I mean, I think this is incredibly impressive by Apple and definitely utilizing AI. Obviously, we're going to see a lot of AI discussion. I just can't wait to hear about it at WWDC here.
So, I'm curious,
Eric, you could.
No, I'm curious about the first thing mentioned in terms of the eye tracking, because that's essential for setup in Vision Pro. And I'm wondering if, you know, you're not getting the finger taps to be able to cue off of, but you can still use the same arrangement where it's in the setup, it's asking the person to track the different lights that are going around in a circle. And that kind of becomes the training for the iPad or the device that's it's going to be used on. Yeah. For me, I see that, and I think this is a convergence of something that's coming from the Vision Pro end over to the iPad, and that's pretty cool.
One comment from Cletus here in the chat here on our YouTube channel. He says, Marty and Eric are making me want a Vision Pro.
hey, Dave. Yes. Apple doing these announcements, this is actually not a surprise, but it's one of those things that we tend to miss because it's falling between big announcements, you know, like the keynote and then WWDC. Apple's been doing this past few years. It's Global Accessibility Awareness Day. And so they do the announcement then.
That's
but
why.
It's always these accessibility features that will be in the next version of the operating system.
I forgot. I remember that now. Yep.
Yeah. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's easy to forget about. I tell you what, that eye tracking thing, even though I don't need it, I'm going to set it up and use it on my iPhone, hopefully all the time. And that's because one of my big problems with the iPhone is that it's a mobile phone. I feel like because of the nature of what the device is, I should be able to use it one-handed, and I can't. They're just too big for me to use any size iPhone one-handed. So I'll set this up, and this will give me a lot of that one-handed control that I have lost since the screens got bigger.
Yeah. I will mention what I mentioned before of being able to magnify words. It's called reader mode. I didn't mention that. It's what's going to be able to do is convert words in images into uniform lines of text, so it's easier to see. Apple didn't really specify what it is or how the feature works, but we'll be hearing about that soon when it comes to that. So, but also some exciting stuff here for accessibility. Yeah, I know. I mean, this is great. We know we've always known Apple's been great with accessibility for all of their customers, and it just makes us even more proud of using these products because know, some of us have some limitations, and you know, if we and then we shouldn't have to be limited to what we use with our iPhones or iPads when it comes to this. So I'm pretty exciting. One last story I want to talk about here, and I'm not kind of surprised at this, is the iPhone Plus is going to be going the way of the iPhone Mini after this final update this fall. Early in the earliest month, they found that they had a report that was being predicted that the iPhone 16 lineup will be the last to feature the Plus model, but now a report from The Information actually details what the high-end iPhone 17 will look like. So, you know, we're talking about iPhones that are 2 years in the making here. I'm not going to talk about those kind of rumors because that's just like crazy to be talking about an iPhone that's going to be is 2 years away. But I just more of the discussion. I'm not surprised that the 15 Plus is not selling very well. I don't think the 14 Plus did either. I think Apple's idea for that model was to have a larger size phone like the Pro Max, which I've been buying since they've introduced it over the last few years of the model. And it is nice. Some people like the larger size model, want to save a little money, but no one's buying it. So why make it? Same thing with the Mini. We always have, you know, we've got our friend of the show, Brittany Smith, is always a big Mini user, and she's holding on those to dear life and has backups of those because they stopped it after the 13. So, and we're on the 15 now. So it's going to get it's going to get closer, or she's going to be towards the end of that model. Unfortunately, I think that the same thing is going to happen here with the Plus. Jeff, what do you think?
If Apple's getting rid of it, it's like you said, people aren't buying it. And they know exactly how many of everything that they sell. So,
right.
Yeah. And for me, I don't care personally that much that it's going away because it's too big of a
screen for me.
I can appreciate that some people will be bummed because their favorite size iPhone without having to pay for a Pro model isn't going to be an option anymore. But if people aren't buying it, they're not going to make it. Same thing for the Mini.
Yeah. What do you think, Marty?
I think, you know, I think of if I'm going to buy a smaller sized phone, I'm going to buy it for a purpose like I'm going to travel with it or something that's inexpensive that I'm not afraid of losing, or when I'm doing international travel. Generally, I'm going to go to the high end, and it's going to force people to make a decision between those two. There's not going to be something in the middle that doesn't seem to sell well either. So I think people are already making that choice.
Yeah. And last word on this, Eric.
Yeah, well, definitely with the Plus, and I'm not sure exactly how much cheaper the Plus is over the Pro or, you know, even the Pro Max, but I definitely kind of think the Mini, I'm not sure what person you mentioned, but I think there are people out there with smaller hands that, you know, that's the only iPhone for them. And I don't know what it's selling. And something tells me it must sell better than the Plus. But I, you know, you wonder, you know, and unless they're just thinking, you know, you can get by with the smaller iPhone of the, you know, either the iPhone 15 or whatever. I'm not sure what the size is now, but the Mini was 5.9, was it? Something like that? Smaller?
Yeah, it's small.
The one thing I've noticed with the 6.7 inch iPhones is it, like Jeff said, it's tough to hold one handed and do stuff. I mean, before when the older, you know, like the iPhone 6 Plus or 7, whatever, they had, you know, black, they had the screen was in the middle and you could easily move your thumb from the top to the bottom of the screen. Now the screen covers the whole phone and it's not so easy to do that. So, and if people have even smaller hands, it's kind of, so it is it's a little bit surprising that they're getting rid of that phone, but I guess not too much.
Like sales. Yeah. So, yep. All right. And before we go, we have to mention MacStock. MacStock is coming 55 days. I can't believe it. It's getting close here. I'm on the website, and as we record this, it's 55 days away. But we got to get, I think a few of us have to get going and getting our presentations fine-tuned, I believe, here. So, but don't worry, you're going to have some great speakers there. Yours truly will be there, as well as Jeff Gamet and Marty Gentius will be there. I hope, Eric, you're going to be able to make it this year to visit us.
Yeah, I definitely want to get there.
Awesome.
We would love to see you. And a lot of the speakers are going to be there. We've mentioned so many of the great names, including Dave Hamilton and Chuck Joyner, of course, and Allison Sheridan, Jill McKinley, Mike Schmitz, Kirsten is going to be there, Brett Terpstra's going to be there, and Wally Terinsky, and then Michael DJ Eisenberg. He's been on the show before, and Brian Flanagan's Arthurs. He'll be his first time speaking at MaxDoc. So it's going to be an absolutely great event. I tell you. So I would highly recommend coming and checking it out. It's not that expensive. It's going to be at a beautiful venue, the Holiday Inn in Crystal Lake. It's a convention center. The great thing about it is it's going to be in one location. We're not going to have to be driving around, going to restaurants and trying to where we're going to hang out. We're going to have rooms in the hotel that we'll be able to hang out. And there's a great restaurant and bar there, so we can have a few drinks. So we could stay in one place. I mean, if people want to go venture out into the area, sure, they can do that. But why, when we can all hang out and spend time together? Because it's all of our friends, all these folks we get to network with. You might meet a few new friends. It's just an absolute amazing event here. 10 years since we've been doing it. Of course, a couple of those years were during the pandemic days, but 8 years, this will be the eighth time that we're doing it in person. I've spoken at all 8 events, and I'm very, very proud of that. The fact that I've been able to contribute to such a great event. It's not that expensive. It's really real worth it. There's going to be also workshops that Marty is going to be doing. Workshop. What was your workshop?
I'm doing a workshop on AI, and it's more the practical workflow, how people can use it from a work. So sort of beginning, but more practical. Some of the stuff I introduced at a session last year, and then I'm also doing a session on Apple Whisperers, how to teach those folks how to do tech support that are constantly asking you to fix their stuff. So
that's great. You're really working hard at MaxDoc. You're not only doing a 90-minute workshop, you're doing a 45-minute presentation. Yeah. So that's awesome that you're really giving us some great stuff here. So to get the weekend pass, it's $399. That is so reasonable for all the people you're going to be able to see. And then if you didn't want to come to the workshop, because it's going to be Friday, July 12th and 13th and 14th, that we also offer a weekend pass, which is for Saturday and Sunday, which is $299. But if you, being that you're an In Touch with iOS listener, I have a $30 off coupon that you can use if you go ahead and register today and use the code In Touch with iOS, all one word, in the box when you see enter the coupon code when you go complete the purchase, and you'll get $30 off that either one of those events here. So, and come on and see us. I know Jeff, you can't wait to see everybody, right?
Gosh. Seriously, I look forward to MaxDoc every year, not just because there's so many amazing presenters and I get to learn so many cool things, but because I get to spend time with you and with the people that are watching and listening to the shows that we're on. And it is just so cool to get to spend that time together. For me, it's like a family reunion, but in the good way.
a lot of great friends and might meet. I love you, Jeff. All of our friends we get to be with, you don't get to see them in person very often. So all of us, our friends here, we're going to be able to see each other. It's a lot of fun. You might meet new friends. Come out and network with us and learn about Apple and technology. It's just going to be an absolute blast. It's MaxDoc, conferenceandexpo.com. All the links are in the show notes. And please come join us. That coupon code is going to be good to the very end before we kick MaxDoc. So come register. We want you to come here. So with that, let's go ahead and we're going to wrap up the show for this week. Thank you all of you for being here this week, Marty and Eric, first time, and Jeff as well. So that's a wrap for this week. Please send your comments, questions, and suggestions to our email address, which is feedback@intouchwithios.com. You can follow us on Mastodon, which is at intouchwithios at techhangout.social. Support the show by buying me a coffee at intouchwithios.com/coffee. We really appreciate it. You can also become a patron of the show if you go to patreon.com/intouchwithios. We have 2 tiers available to support the show. We would really appreciate it. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe so you're notified when we're live streaming. It's usually on Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. It was Friday this week only because of a scheduling conflict, but it's on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/intouchwithios. So great to see Cletus and others that were in the chat this week. You can join us too and be able to see the live stream as well as go back and watch the live streams as well as listen to past shows. It's in the YouTube podcast app too, so you can listen to the podcast right from YouTube. You visit In Touch with iOS Magazine on Flipboard, where many of the topics we discuss are flipped into that magazine. The link is in our show notes. You can also subscribe to the show in your favorite podcatcher, including Pocket Casts, Overcast, Apple Podcasts with transcripts, and many others. But better yet, just go to our website, intouchwithios.com, where all the links to all the ways to listen to us is on that website. I am Dave Ginsburg, and you can find me on Mastodon, which is at DaveG65 at Mastodon.cloud. Marty, Jensi, it's so great to have you back on the show. Have you many more times, and even before MockStock here. So, but great. Thanks for being here today. And where can people find you?
Jensius, J-E-N-C-I-U-S, at Mastodon.social. You can also find me on Chuck's Mac Voices show on Tuesday night. And then I love to come to Dave's show here, In Touch with iOS. And I'm doing three podcasts right now. The most recent is Vision Pro Files, which is all about the Vision Pro device, doing that with Eric Bolden. And then I do sort of a professional gab for the profession I'm in called Circular Firing Squad. And then I do the Tech Savvy Professor, which I've been doing started about 4 years ago, but really picked it up this year, talking about nice tech and academic sort of use of tech.
Nice. Thanks again, Marty. Really appreciate it. Eric Erickson, thank you for being here as well. It's the first time. I hope we can have you back again as well. Where can people find you?
Yeah, you bet. I'd loved it. Probably the best place is my For Mac Guys Only, Eric at formacguysonly.com. And you can, of course, can find me over there as well, co-hosting with Mike. So, just to throw in what you said about MacStock, just all the names you mentioned there are top-notch and just a great reason to go. I definitely am going to be there this year. So, yeah, it's
good.
It's an awesome thing.
Can't wait to see you. Can't wait to see you.
Same here.
All right. And last but certainly not least, Jeff Gannett. You are always amazing to be here. Thank you for being here. And where can people find you? Well,
I appreciate that you let me join in because I always have so much fun. So, thank you. Thank you. All right. Jay Gannett on social media. I'm posting on Mastodon and Instagram and Threads. And then for shows, Tuesday evenings, Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live here on In Touch with iOS on Thursday. So Dave, thank you again for letting me be part of this. Then on the British Tech Network, Thursdays on The Big Show, Fridays on The Mac Show. And then also Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine. And our most recent episode went live literally moments before we started recording here tonight.
Yes, go check that one out. It's always a blast to hear Brian and Jeff and their shenanigans. I guess
but using one of them Kelly's words. Light way to put it.
That's one of Kelly's words. So, but I'm so glad everybody listened and watched and was here to enjoy the show. We really enjoyed doing it, and we're going to be back next week. But until then, thanks for listening, and we'll talk again soon.